Are you guys excited about 2010? That baby's tall. Well, I'm excited about 2010. I'm going to be even more excited when the snow leaves. It's a little hard to put a roof on when there's ice and snow on it. Are you guys in a good mood tonight? Are you happy? I mean, I don't want to do calisthenics and things, but are you, you know, we should be the happiest people on the face of the planet. We really should. And, you know, I know I'm not the only one in here, but, you know, this last year, it was a little bit of a struggle now and then. And I know there's a lot of people that are still in struggles, and there's a lot of people that don't understand that struggle because they don't have the Lord. And tonight, I want to talk about building on the rock. We need to do some things for 2010 to make it better than 2009. Would you agree with that? And we have the foundation to do that because we have the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But you know, I want to do something tonight, if you'll give me the latitude to, because I'm about a 5 or 10 minute guy, then I'm done, you know. That's probably not going to happen tonight. I tell most pastors, I say, you know, you ought to start your message like this, in closing. Because the closing is usually longer than the whole message, you know. But I want to sing a song tonight, maybe two, if I can do it. And I've told Pastor Paul, I like to sing songs that have a message, you know, and that people can relate to. And I believe in this time in which we live, the second song is actually more for the message, but I want you to think about this first song tonight because we're not in this alone, are we? We're in this together. We not only have the Lord and His Spirit, but we have each other. Amen. So I'm gonna give it my best shot here. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Let's do that right now. Would you stand with me? I never want to sing that song without praying. Father, take the hand of somebody next to you tonight. Father, I love you tonight. Lord, I thank you, and I count it a privilege, Lord, to minister your word. Father, you are the reason for the season that we're going through right now. But Lord, there's some things that we need to do in our life to have cause and effect, to make things happen. Your word tells us those things that we need to do, Father. And Lord, tonight, I believe that 2010, people are going to read their word more. They're going to pray more. They're going to believe more, Father. They're going to have more faith in what you're going to do in their life. Lord, I know there's a lot of people struggling right now tonight, financially, physically, spiritually. And Lord, your word, your spirit is our way, Father. We have to do things, Lord, ourselves. We can't sit on our hands, Father, and do nothing. There's things that we need to be doing. And Lord, tonight, Lord, I pray that you would anoint my lips, anoint the ears to hear, Father. And Lord, when we leave this place, we'll realize, we've heard it a million times if we're Christians, we will be doers, not hearers only, Father. Lord, I love you tonight, and I thank you for this time that we're going to share together. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I got dry socket, Mary Jo. I thought my lips were going to stick together. That would have been the end of it. Oh, praise the Lord. Well, you can get your Bible out tonight. Never come to church without your Bible. I want to share this with you real quick. Some of you may have heard of this. Some of you may not have heard it. But this is a position that's wanted in every one of our households. It says, I would like a job as a tutor, a teacher, an advisor to your family. I will never take a vacation. I will never be out of humor. I don't drink or smoke. I won't borrow your clothes or raid your refrigerator. It's not one of your kids, is it? I will be up in the morning as early as anyone in the household and will stay up as late as anyone wishes. I will help solve any problems your children might have. I will give you the satisfaction of knowing that no question your children ask will go unanswered. For that matter, I will answer any of your own questions on subjects that range from how we got here to where are we headed. I will help settle bets and differences of opinion. I will give you information that will help you with your job, your family, and all of your interests. In short, I will give you the knowledge that will ensure the continued success of your family. I am your Bible. Do I get the job? Amen. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. I'm going to try to sing that other song and I'll be done. Mark, anytime you're ready. A lot of us have lived here too, this song. But he knows right where we are tonight, doesn't he? Somehow I took my eyes. Hallelujah. Give him praise tonight. That's your roofing contractor concert for the evening. Well, praise the Lord. Luke 6, 46 through verse 49. I want to talk about a wise and a foolish builder tonight. You know, I've been both in my life. I've been both. I've been a wise and a foolish builder. But listen to what this says. It says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. You know, there's going to be things in this life that come against us, and if we haven't dug deep into God's word, our life is going to be shaken. We need to know what God's word says. From front to back, we need to dig in there and find out. We need to hide that. Does anybody know what the cockle of the heart is? Come on, some of you more mature folk than me ought to know what the cockle of the heart is. Haven't you heard that old expression? It's the innermost part of your heart. That's where we need to hide God's word tonight, in our innermost being, so that he can bring it up at the necessary time. We need to know what God's word says. We don't want to be a foolish builder. God has given us everything that we need, all the supplies necessary to have that abundant life that the Bible talks about. Let's back up a minute. Let's go to Matthew 7, verse 24 through 27. I want you to see the similarity, but the difference is also here tonight. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, therefore, now, when the Bible says that, we've heard this a million times too, right, Sister Sherry? We need to know what it's there for, right? It says, therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. And listen to this. And great was its fall. That therefore, it's talking about the parable, the wise and foolish builders. And at this point, it's talking also, it serves both as a conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, which I'm not going to go into tonight, but it also illustrates this, the absolute necessity of doing what God tells us to do. What is it that God tells us to do? Well, it's from the front to the back. There's a lot of things in there that he tells us to do. But what I want to talk about tonight, Sherry touched on it during the offertories. I want to talk about giving tonight. 2010, you know, there's so many things that make up a foundation. I'm only going to talk about one tonight, and that's giving. And not just money. But you know what? There's another area you need to dig down deep this year and give like you've never given before. Luke 3:28 says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." One key to spiritual leadership and ministry is Jesus' call to give, and it will be given. Financial obstacles. I want you to get this tonight, because I've been here too. And I know I'm the only one. Newsflash, my wife will tell you, I'm not perfect. I've made some mistakes. I've made some wrong decisions. But with God's help, he's changed that in our life. And I'm looking forward to 2010. I've still got some obstacles to overcome myself financially. But I want to overcome them with Christ, because I know his timing is way better than mine. And he's never late. That's the great part. God is never late. He's always on time. But financial obstacles, you know what they do? They tempt us to give up, don't they? They'll tempt you to give up. But instead, God's word calls us to give away. Did you hear that? God's word calls us to give away. We have a human tendency to clutch things to ourselves, especially material belongings. And you know what? Our Jesus, he exemplifies the essence of giving by sowing your life, your own interests. John 24-26 says this. It says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me," I love this part, "him my Father will honor." You know, the Bible says that those who diligently seek him, he rewards those people. And that's my prayer this year for Cornerstone Church, corporately and individually, that we will diligently seek the Lord. We will dig into those places that we've never dug into before, because there are areas that we lack confidence, insecurity, things that, you know, we think maybe we just don't measure up. We can't do that. We can't do that. Yes, you can. If I can stand up here tonight and do what I'm doing, so can you. You need to let God open that gift that's inside you this year so it can be shared with this family here at Cornerstone Church and God's kingdom. Because each one of you have a gift and a talent. And, it'd be great. A lot of people don't know I sing. And I don't sing great, but I sing. You know, by the time it leaves my lips and hits his ears, it's perfect. That's all that matters. Amen? That's all that matters. You all have a gift, and God wants to use you. And you know what? God wants to take you to a different place in your life, in him. You know, people complain about where they are, what they have, what's going on. But you know what? You need to start to learn to be happy with where you are and what you have, so God can elevate you somewhere else. Why would he give you something else when you're complaining and griping about where you are right now? You know? But he wants to. We have to make that change. We have to have cause and effect. I say that a lot. I don't know why. But the cause is Christ. The effect is he's going to change our life if we do what his word says. And I like this part too. We were just talking about In verse 26, it says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. This pathway of yielding up all to him often calls us to give when we ourselves may be in need. It seems counterproductive, doesn't it? To give something away you don't have anyway. But giving out of our own need in God's way is God's way of clearing the avenues of heaven so that that abounding toward us, it's a purpose for ministry through us. We have to be able to be yielded to him so that he can use us to do what he needs us to do. No, I'm going to do it my way. No, that's mine. No, you can't have that. That's mine. No, it's not. There isn't anything that you have or I have. Children, boats. You know, it all ought to be being used for the kingdom. Now, if you got a nice boat and you like to fish, we can go out and we can do some fishing for the Lord. Amen. But everything that you have is on loan to you and me. You need to use what you have. It's a resource for doing God's work. But this is the part I like. I like the word reciprocal because that's what our relationship is with Christ. You know, there's a universal law of divine reciprocity. You give, God gives in return. When you plant a seed in the ground, you yield a harvest. That is a reciprocal relationship. The ground can only give you or only give to you as you give to the ground. You put money in the bank, and the bank returns interest. That is reciprocity. But here it is. And I want to close with this tonight. Many people want something for nothing. And when it comes to the things of God, they know it doesn't work that way in the world system. Yet, they always expect God to send them something when they have not invested in the kingdom of God. If you're not investing your time, talent, commitment, and your money, why do you want something? How can you get something when you have not planted a seed? How can you expect God to honor your desire when you have not honored his command to give? You know, there's two things. I only know of one place where success comes before work. That's in the dictionary. And the other thing is that abundance begins with investment. You're going to have to invest to get that abundance that the Lord has for you and for me. That's what I want for 2010 for my church family, for all the extended family of the people in this room and in this church. But to do that, you're going to have to learn to give. You're going to have to give of yourself, your time, your talent, your finances, your resources. Because God wants to change your life. He wants to make you richer than you are right now. He wants to make you healthier than you are right now. But we have to do our part. I don't want to be one of those people that expect something for nothing. I want him to know how much I love him and that I'll do anything I can. You know, I've got myself in trouble saying yes, Lord. Because I got more than I could do. And I know a lot of you have been the same way. And I don't mean that in a bad way. You overextend yourself. But you know what? We need to say yes to him more than we do. I want us to read more, to pray more, to love each other more. All those things that are necessary for a Christian living in this life today. Don't sit there tonight and expect God to do something for you when you're not doing anything for him. It doesn't work that way. I wouldn't pay my guys to go out and sit on a job and all the shingles are on the roof. The whole day goes by, they're still sitting in their truck. I'm not going to go out and pay them because they haven't put any shingles on. I'm not going to pay them for nothing. Well, our Lord works the same way, except it's better. The rewards are better. You know, it just is. It's just so much better when we're obedient. And we were talking tonight about New Year's resolutions, and I might bust some of your bubbles. I don't believe in New Year's resolutions. I just don't. I believe in commitment, and I believe in covenants with my Lord and Savior. I've seen too many people fail with resolutions, losing weight and things like that. Yes, God can do anything, but he's not going to do it unless you do your part. I mean, he's not. You expect God to do something, then get on your knees, get in your word, find out what it says about whatever situation you're going through. Then expect God to work and expect God to move, because he will, because you're being obedient to his word tonight. Amen.
This has been a production of Cornerstone Church in Grove, Oklahoma. For more information about Cornerstone, you can call 918-786-6164 or send an email to info@cornerstonechurchofgrove.com. Thanks for listening.